Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. That's the hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling. We have Jesus sending out disciples all over the place. It seems as though there's a point where he is calling them, and then he is teaching them, and he is revealing himself to them. And then he sends them out. Now, all of this is in preparation for Jesus finally sending out these 12 disciples, or his apostles then, into the world with that great commission that we hear about in Matthew 28, where they are to go into all the world and make of all the nations disciples by baptizing and teaching. But before that, he sends them out in different groups. In Luke chapter 10, he sends them out two by two, 72 of them. It says he appointed 72. We're going to be talking about Jesus sending out the 72 in Luke chapter 10, the first 24 verses. Pastor Tom Baker will join us a little bit later in this hour. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. We'll be doing our biweekly series on pop culture today, our sports-dominated culture. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson today. Luke 10, Jesus sending out the 72, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
No, thank you.
Jesus is sending, this isn't the only time Jesus sends out disciples, but are we to understand perhaps this as kind of training for what the core of the disciples and eventually the whole church will be sent to do?
If you take a look at what Jesus is saying, I would agree with that because his goal is to say that the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, and therefore go your way. I'm sending you out, and this is interesting, as lambs in the midst of wolves. This, of course, follows very carefully what Jesus had talked about in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted. And this definitely, in today's society, a lot of times is exactly what is going on.
Now, so he's sending them out into every town and place where he himself was about to go. They're on reconnaissance in a way, aren't they?
Yes. They're following the example of Jesus, as every pastor should be doing. In fact, we try and make that really clear, that the way we come to understand Jesus is by following his word. And remember, the Father said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Why did he say that? He said that because Jesus was following the word of God in all that he did. In fact, I had a Bible study today about I thirst. And the only reason that is said is because it was the only word from the cross that was a word of fulfillment. Had Jesus not thirsted, then Psalm 22 would not have occurred, and we probably would not be going to heaven. So everything that he did was in light of what the scriptures had to say.
Okay, so he takes these 72. Well, let's deal with this, Tom. There are some manuscripts that say 70, and then there are some that say 72. Should that worry us here?
No. And the reason it shouldn't is simply because if he sent out 72, he definitely sent out 70. It's like kind of like saying the feeding of the 5,000. And somebody says, no, that was 5,003 men. Well, that's not wrong, because he therefore did feed 5,000. It's not unusual that figures are, how shall we say, rounded out or put in a way to understand them. So, by the way, here is the only time that this number 72 is mentioned in the entire scripture. It's in various gospels, etc., manuscripts, I should say, but it is specifically here that it says 72.
Explain these words. Before he sends them, he says to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." What is Jesus talking about there?
The fact of the matter is that God has set up the office of the holy ministry, and there is a real need for a pastor. A pastor is one who is able to be able to teach and also has the encouragement from God to be on a mission. This mission means he's a disciple, but it's important to understand that that mission is one in which he is really being chosen by God himself in order to do this task.
So when he says harvest, that's a particular stage in the whole agricultural metaphor. Because before you can have a harvest, you got to have a lot of work that goes into that before. You got to prepare the ground. You've got to plant the seed. And then you have to wait for the harvest. Jesus says the harvest is already here. This isn't the only place he says it. I think he says it when he's in Samaria, the harvest is white. It's ready to be harvested.
Yes. The harvest also comes up, if you recall, in the parable of the farmer who goes out, sows various seeds on the ground, and it's on various kinds of soil. But finally, there's one that takes root, and there is a plentiful harvest. What Jesus is saying is the elect that's chosen from before the foundation of the world are there, but they need to be brought into the kingdom, and they're brought into the kingdom how? By hearing the word of God. Romans 10 is very clear about that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So how do we separate those who are really part of the harvest from those who are not? Namely, by sharing the word of God, sharing the means of grace, and by doing that, then individuals come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that's how that harvest takes place.
Often these words, "the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few," is used to kind of guilt Christians. But I wonder, Tom, whether it's better to read Jesus saying, look, the harvest is so plentiful. In other words, God's promise of bringing his elect to salvation is so certain, and so many will be saved, we can't find enough people to go out and speak that word you were just talking about.
Yes, I find it quite comforting to find many Lutherans in areas of the world where you're just really quite surprised. In fact, there's more Lutherans in Madagascar right now than there are in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the United States of America. And there's other areas. Now, how do we find those people? Is because our missionaries have gone there. In fact, I spoke to people who had attended Madagascar services. They had 600 people in each service. There were three services a Sunday. They were singing "The Mighty Fortress Is Our God." God had prepared them. All that we needed was to send them out. And, for example, right now in our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there are a number of what we call vacancies. This means these are congregations that do not have pastors. And so this is what Jesus would be saying, the laborers are few.
Okay, then we get to the actual sending in verse 3. He says, "Go your way. And as you mentioned before, I'm sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves." And he has a long list of things that he doesn't want them to take with them. So he says, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Tom, I don't even leave my house in the morning without making sure that I got, you know, my car keys, all those things that I need for the day ahead of me. And Jesus saying, don't take anything with you. What's up?
What he's trying to do is reinforce what verse 3 says. Behold, I am sending you. Therefore, we don't have to be prepared. For example, when I became a pastor at the various congregations I've been pastor of, I didn't take to them a money bag, etc. They ended up being able to take care of me. And even Jesus, remember, he had no place to stay. He had no house of his own. But boy, how many people would take care of him? And there were a group of women who would, Mary and Martha, etc., invite him into their homes in order for him to rest as well as feed him. There never seemed to be a place that Jesus did not have somebody ready to take care of him until, of course, the Passion. So this is an example to each of us that in this day and age, it's just a fact that a lot of the new pastors are going among congregations who may be having difficulty in raising money, etc. But we are not to be concerned because God is going to be taking care of us as he has promised. So the same promise comes to me as a pastor as it came to these 72.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus sending out the 72 in Luke chapter 10. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Jesus sending out the 72, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Here's a little from the Growing in Christ lesson here for this particular section of Luke chapter 10. It says, when the 72 return, Jesus directs their attention away from the visible success of their work and onto the heavenly salvation that he gives them. He doesn't want the messengers to focus on earthly achievements, but rather on his gifts of heavenly grace and salvation. You can see there and there alone how Christ-centered and cross-focused this Sunday school curriculum is. It's called Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. That's 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Okay, Tom, let's get to the nature of their journey that they're going to take. He gives very specific instructions, not only as to what they aren't supposed to take with them. Then he says, whatever house you enter, say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Don't go from house to house. Wherever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. There's some pretty specific instructions for these 72. What's Jesus telling them?
Jesus is telling them what he actually told the disciples on the very night of the resurrection. What were the first words he said to them? Peace be to you. And 8 days later on, of course, when Thomas had doubted and then he was present, also peace. And this peace is not talking about that you're going to have a wonderful life here on earth. It is the peace now that is between you and God, where the dividing wall of hostility has been broken down, and we now, God is now reconciled to us. That's found in Paul's letters, of course. And that reconciliation took place because Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. So the curse of the law, in the day that you sin, death as the result, is no longer over us. So peace be to this house. And you want to make sure you don't give the impression that you're there, as you mentioned already from the reading, for filthy gain or for personal possessions. And that's why he says don't go from house to house, stay in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. The one thing I was worried about, I had the opportunity for 3 weeks to teach in Novosibirsk in Siberia. And the one thing I was a little concerned about is, what am I going to be eating? Because, you know, a Western stomach sometimes always don't take other food. And I knew I wouldn't be able to go to where I was going to stay and ask them for a White Castle or a McDonald's, because there was none in the area. But God really took care. In fact, the place I ended up staying at had a full-time cook where she would put sour cream in anything that I asked her to. It was really very delicious meals. And so here was a concern I had that I didn't have to be concerned at all. All I had to do was have read Luke chapter 10, where it says, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is before you. The whole notion of healing the sick is somewhat important because it shows that this isn't just a disciple coming. This is an apostle or a disciple from Jesus. And it is Jesus' sign that you know that he is present, if you'll recall, when he quotes to John the Baptizer's disciples that the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, and so forth. So early in the ministry, there was an accompaniment of miracles in order to once more indicate that this is truly the message that the Old Testament said would be coming to bring in the new kingdom of God.
Now, Jesus says, and he repeats it again there in verse 16, he strongly insinuates that if a town rejects the men he is sending to them, that they're going to incur God's judgment. It will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And then in verse 16, he makes it very clear. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. This is life and death stuff, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it's kind of synonymous or analogous to rejecting a friend of yours, because he says, well, your friend told you this, and you don't believe him. So you're really rejecting your own friend because you don't believe the word that is being said. And remember, Jesus said, whenever you see me, you see the Father, and I and the Father are one. The same thing now can be said to those who are preaching the gospel. When you reject the gospel, you are really rejecting me, because I'm the one who is behind the gospel. And when you reject me, you also are rejecting him who sent me. If you recall, when he talked to the Pharisees, he referred to them as having as their father the devil himself, because they had rejected him and turned their back on him. And therefore, that is a very close relationship between we as Christians, Jesus Christ, and God the Father.
The other thing that happens here is when they return, they're pretty ecstatic because the demons submit to them in Jesus' name, and Jesus isn't surprised by this. He talks about how he's given them that authority. That's why the demons submitted. I gave you the authority to tread on scorpions and serpents and even over Satan himself. But he says, don't rejoice in that, but that your names are written in heaven. What is he saying?
What he's doing, he's putting things in perspective. A lot of times a pastor can get kind of boastful because he may have a large adult instruction class or a lot of the youth, or maybe he's doing visitation and at a hospital and somebody in the bed next to his own member hears what he has to say, ask him about it, and they end up joining the church. That's one of the great temptations about being a pastor, because we think we're doing something, when in reality, it is always the Word of God. So we should rejoice not in our accomplishments, that would be a law accusation, but instead of the accomplishments of Jesus, because our name is written in heaven. By rejoicing, and notice, it doesn't say, but rejoice that you wrote your name in heaven. No, it's a passive. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Well, who wrote them in heaven? I didn't, but Jesus did. And therefore, it's once more putting a proper perspective on praising, giving thanks, not for what we have accomplished that we think we ought to get credit for, but instead all that Jesus has accomplished for us. And if you listen closely to a divine service, that is the theme of every proper divine service.
So, Tom, how would you break down kind of the law and the gospel for the Sunday school classroom as we wrap up our conversation?
The law is oftentimes we don't see our vocations as related to Jesus Christ at all. Because all of us aren't pastors, obviously, but we don't understand that when we are at work, we may have words to say when a conversation enters into an area where Christianity has something to say. And therefore, we are accused of not recognizing that all we do is related to Jesus Christ and the faith that he has given us in that faith. The gospel is that he still provides for my needs, even if I'm not a pastor. And he equips me to share the love that he had for me with those who also have a need to hear it. And therefore, the law is accusing us of taking credit for where we should not and not recognizing we are Jesus' witness. And the gospel is that sin is forgiven, that he continually takes care of me better than the birds in the air, the flowers in the field, and therefore produces a life of sanctification after we've come to faith, that we really look forward to sharing the good news of the gospel with others.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. And next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the parable of the Good Samaritan. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Folks, Luther Academy serves Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth in great mission work. You can find out about this confessional Lutheran mission organization at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Be sure to request their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about pop culture in our series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting. We're going to talk about our sports-dominated culture. Stay tuned.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
The divine service is where Christians gather around word and sacrament. We join together to receive God's gifts in the liturgy. But do you know the meaning behind what we do? There's a book called Ceremony and Celebration that explains Lutheran liturgical worship. Find out more and read book excerpts online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us. You'll find answers to your liturgical questions in Ceremony and Celebration, emmanuelpress.us.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over 2 centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.